Justice and righteousness are two principles that are fundamentally intertwined in the Old Testament of the Bible. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembry.
I'm Janice.
And justice with each other and righteousness with God. These are two elements we'll talk about as we study Psalm 106 today. As we focus on this passage, it is good to hear what God is saying. This is Bible Discovery TV, and Corey and Ryan are here. Corey?
Well, today I'm actually going to be having a discussion with you, Mom, about the Psalms that we were supposed to read today. Yes. Ryan?
Well, today I'm continuing my series on creation, and to help me along today is my good friend, Dr. Carl Werner.
Dr. Carl Werner is a great man, and it is a good day to study and look at this. So let's open up the Bible and turn to Psalm 106 and hear what God is saying.
Psalm 106, 1 through 12. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. Psalm 106, verses 1 through 12.
You know, it's interesting as we go through the Psalms that we find certain places that mean a lot to us. Now, Psalm 106 is one of those Psalms that's a song, and it's also writing a prayer, if you would, or a meditation. And how many times can we say, and this is important, that God acted on our behalf when we didn't deserve it? Well, my guess would be too many times to count. God's mercy is not just for us personally. It actually also makes him known to others around us. Such was the time of Israel's exit from Egypt. They had gone into Egypt as a family of just over 70 people. And 400 years later, they came out of Egypt slavery as a nation of over 1 million people. How and why did God act on their behalf in this way? Clearly, God's great mercy is a part of this, a big part of his character, actually. And it was in effect as he dealt with the men and the women of that nation. The musical lyrics of Psalm 106 highlight what happened, and it is a great piece to read and meditate on. Much of the Psalms are a reflection of what God has done in history and what his character is actually like. Now, this is one of the reasons that we encourage you to read, to pray, to sing, and meditate on the Psalms, the book of music. And today, we're going to focus our attention on Psalm 106. Now, this is interesting. Take your Bible guide and turn to it with me. And if you don't have a Bible guide, that's okay. We'll tell you how to get one by explaining that if you call and write to us, we will send you one. Just remember that it cost us money to send it to you, so it would be something that you might consider doing. And also, you can go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com, and when you go there, you can click on the Bible Guide, and when you do so, it takes you to a donate page, and let me say thank you so much for your donations, especially now and today, as it supports this program. All of the money that comes in supports this program, and we take a tenth of it, and we give it to WOW Missions. So that's very important. But if you do that, it's very important. Now, today we pray that, Father, you would help us to see Psalm 106, these 12 verses. Help us to understand what they mean, because we're going to try to digest what you've said. Now, this is important. Lord, we need to allow your word to change our hearts. We don't need to take our hearts and apply it to your word. You don't speak that way. You speak by changing our hearts through your word. So we are willing to do that, Lord. Help us to have the character to be able to allow your word to change us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the first verse, because this is interesting. It sounds familiar. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all of his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice and who does righteousness at all times. Pay attention to justice and righteousness, because justice and righteousness are two fundamental principles that God commands his people to do and become. Christians, or Christ-like followers, change how they act and react because of God's Holy Spirit in them, beloved. Now, this is important to remember. When we become Christian, when we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ, and I would say that you can do that today by praying and asking the Lord, Lord, come into my heart, come into my life. I take you as Lord. I need to deal with my sin, and I can't do it, but you paid the cost of sin by giving your life 2,000 years ago, and then you were dead for 3 days and rose again in the flesh. And I believe that, Lord. Help my unbelief. And Father, I give you lordship over my life. Now, when we do that and we're serious about it, God brings his Holy Spirit into us. And that Spirit of God is fundamental in changing who we are. You know, there was a song back in the 70s, some people just never change. Well, actually, people do. When the Holy Spirit comes into their heart, they do change. And it's important to do that, important to allow God to change us. Well, let's go on to verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that you have toward your people. Toward your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefits of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. This is important. Look at this. The psalmist calls on God to remember him. Now, keep that in mind, okay? We seek the Lord Jesus to follow him and grow to be like him. We grow to be like Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that important? A lot of people, they grow in their older years to be like the people that were their fathers or their mothers or whatever. But when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes the center of our lives, and we begin to gravitate. Our character begins to move by the Holy Spirit more like he was under him. We don't become lords, but we become under him, and he protects us. That's what we learned, that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, Psalm 1. This is important for us to remember. And so when we grow old, we become more like Jesus, and that's what we do when we seek the Lord. So our attitude should be, seek the Lord. Now let's go on to the last part of this, because this is really good. It says here, we have sinned with our fathers, We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies. But they rebelled. The sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. And he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. And then they believed his words and they sang his praise. Here's the point. God saved his people for his name's sake. God saved his people for his name's sake. We are saved because of God's great love. And he makes the power of his salvation known through those who receive him. Do you know Jesus Christ today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to invite you to come to know Jesus, to pray to him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I know you today, and I need to give you my life so that my sin can be taken care of and I can have eternal life. So, Father, be the Lord of my life, and I will follow you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in promising me eternal life forever.
Hi there. Bible Discovery TV is available to you 24/7. If you have Roku, you can download our app and you can watch all of our programs at your own convenience.
We're also available on Amazon Fire, so just search Bible Discovery TV and you'll be able to find us.
Did you know that Bible Discovery TV is available on your phone? You can watch the program whenever and wherever is most convenient for you.
On iPhone or Android, search for Bible Discovery TV in the App Store.
All right, so as I mentioned off the top of the program, today I'm continuing my series on creation, which I often like to do when we're reading through the Psalms, because these songs and hymns remind us many times that God is the creator and that the creation declares his glory. But you know, a lot of people today deny God as creator and declare instead that everything created itself through a process called evolution. And these two ideas could not be more diametrically opposed. And someone who knows a lot about this stuff is my guest today, Dr. Carl Werner. And he's actually been on the program before, but for those of you who don't know him, Dr. Werner is a physician, biologist, researcher, and author, among many other things. And although he is now a firm believer in God, creation, and the Bible, he wasn't always. And today he explains what shifted his thinking. Now, a lot of people know who you are, but for those who don't, I was wondering if you could just share with us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I always tell people that I am the person in the church who came in through the back door. You know, when I grew up, my parents were amazingly great parents. They were very moral, very good parents, but our church did not emphasize the inerrancy of the Bible, something I regret. They did not emphasize the creation story. And so you might say I was unanchored. Even though everything was good at the house of super parents, but intellectually I was unanchored. And as I drifted unanchored in the sea of life, you know, I started asking myself, do I believe in God? And, you know, why am I following all these rules of religion when I'm not even sure there is a God? And when my professors then told me that evolution was true when I entered college and medical school at age 18, I had no reason not to believe it until one day a friend took me out. He asked me, what do I think about naturalism, you know, the Big Bang, evolution? And I told him I believe, you know. And he posed three questions to me, Ryan, that changed my life, literally changed my life. His first question was, Carl, you believe in naturalism, that the universe formed naturally. But how would the universe form naturally, since matter, that's atoms, hydrogen, helium, carbon, sulfur, you know, all the little atoms that make up life, don't form from nothingness? And I knew that was true. And then he threw a second question. He said, Carl, you believe that the life formed from chemicals, you know, millions of years ago. And there was this primordial soup where there was, you know, lightning and heated sides of a volcano, and it formed the first living thing. That would be the first bacteria. He said, but you know that the large molecules, that would be DNA, RNA, proteins, which are all necessary for life to begin. They're in every living thing today. He said, you know, they never form naturally under any conditions. And I knew that to be true because we had just finished biochemistry. And then his third question was, Carl, you know that the fossil record doesn't show evolution. I said, no, I've never heard that. He said, well, the museums have collected a billion fossils, but evolution doesn't show up in the fossil record. In other words, just the animal groups just suddenly appear in the fossil record, and we don't see, you know, like a mouse evolving into a bat, or, you know, a lizard evolving into a pterosaur, a flying lizard. How could you reconcile that with such a large fossil record? It seems impossible that you would always be missing the intermediate animals, which should be there just as much as the end and beginning animals. And you know, Ryan, I sat back there. This whole conversation took me about a minute and a half. And I just realized that I had been duped. I didn't know what to do about it because I still couldn't explain all the things I'd already been told about dinosaurs, about millions of years and all this. But I had enough information to say, okay, something's wrong here and I'm going to go figure this out.
And Dr. Werner did indeed follow through on figuring it out. As a matter of fact, he made it his life's work and has produced a ton of material on the subject of evolution, including books and video documentaries. And you can find all of his work at his website at thegrandexperiment.com. That's thegrandexperiment.com. And I'm really excited because Dr. Werner is going to be joining us over the next several days right here on the program to talk about his latest research, in which he's uncovered 150 frauds committed by evolutionists related to the supposed ape men. So stay tuned.
Yeah, Dr. Werner is an excellent doctor. He's an excellent scientist. He's just really, really a fascinating guy. He lives in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm, he does.
My grandparents used to live there years ago, and so St. Louis is a great city. But nevertheless, we need to remember that. Over the next few days, you're going to present him, so keep that in mind. That's going to be important. Also, I wanted to mention to you, Church 365, if you want to get a hold of us, and you're a partner, a partner means you give to this ministry. If you want to get a hold of us, then you need to get Church 365. All of our material, everything we do, plus a weekly Bible study is presented for you. Now, Bible study, it means you get the notes and all of that material, including a Bible IQ question and all that business. So if you really want that, I suggest that you simply go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com and click on the menu. It's on the side, on the right-hand side, and it comes up as Church 365. Or you can call us, or you can write to us and ask about Church 365. And I would encourage you to get a hold of that because it really is good. And we've introduced some new aspects to it this year, and I'm very excited about that. Okay, Corey.
Well, this is where I'm going to hand it over to Mom, because we were talking about what to do, and we were thinking about maybe having a discussion based off of the Psalms that were included in our daily reading today, right?
Yes, because there is so much information packed into these Psalms. And if we take a look, so the reading assignment, if you don't have a Bible guide, this is what was assigned. Psalm 105 is about the eternal faithfulness of the Lord. And then if we turn over to Psalm 106, it's joy in forgiveness of Israel's sins. That moves us into book five, because some people don't realize that the Psalms are broken up into books.
Yes.
There's 150 chapters, but this now begins book five of the Psalms. Psalm 107 is thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. And right off the top, I love it. Right off the top. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. From the beginning of this verse to the very end, we see history being played out, mm-hmm. and how that God, to those who follow him, to those who have committed their lives, the mm-hmm. redeemed, mm-hmm. he rescues. And I don't know if you know this, but this ministry was founded on Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So much in these chapters, but especially focused on Psalm 107, the very last verse, 43, after you read all through this, says this: whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness mm-hmm. of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because each one of us can point to God's deliverance in our own lives over and over and over.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that's so cool about Psalm 107, because you get to go through and see the testimony of Israel, mm-hmm. you know, through this, so that they can stand as redeemed of the Lord in these ancient times. You know, when this was written thousands of years ago, they were able to say as a choir, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And it's a challenge to us to do the same thing, to take an evaluation of our lives, of where God has brought us from. And it may not look exactly the same as ancient Israel for each one of us, although I know some people who do have a physical story of rescue yes. out of danger and rescue out of the clutches of evil. And their stories is actually remarkably similar to what we read in Psalm 107. And others of us, it will be more spiritual, a more of a spiritual rescue and an emotional growing that God does in our lives. But it's a challenge. Psalm 107 is a challenge for the redeemed of the Lord to say so,
exactly.
to look back on your life and evaluate where God has taken you mm-hmm. and how he's taught you. And at the end of that moment of reflection, at the end of that time of meditation, to be able to say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever.
Exactly, because throughout this chapter, it pauses mm. and all of a sudden it will say, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We need to live as children of God who are thankful mm-hmm. for what God has done.
Yes.
Because even in the hard times, he still gives good gifts,
he
doesn't
does.
He? We don't always understand them. Mm-hmm. And especially sometimes when we're going through things, mm-hmm. it's harder for us to understand. But that's where we really learn to trust in God. Mm-hmm. And as we go through things in life and we do put our trust in God and we wait on him, which is not an easy thing to do sometimes, mm-hmm. when we wait on him, we can see his faithfulness.
Absolutely.
And we need to live in that thankfulness, because if we don't, it's very easy for us to slip into the wrong thinking.
Oh my goodness. So easy. So easy to let our situations overcome us emotionally. And then when we allow ourselves to become overcome emotionally, it's then far too easy to let those emotions dictate our decisions in life. So the choices that we make, the way that we treat other people, the way we talk to our family and the people around us. And it can become very, very unhealthy. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Psalms have been used ever since they were written by faithful children of God as attitude adjusters.
Yes.
Like when you incorporate a psalm a day or a psalm a week into your Bible reading and your worship time or your time of devotions with God, God uses that as a wake-up call. I know for me, I'm speaking personally now, he uses it in me as a wake-up call, because when you're in the trenches of life, you know, you get so busy and all of these things are happening and it's so easy to kind of get this tunnel vision, this kind of like survivors, we just gotta go, we just gotta go. And so easily you can slip into negative ways of thinking. Yes. Unhelpful ways of thinking is really what I should what I mean. And the Word of God brings you back to this place of, right, whatever I'm going through, it's okay. Because God is good and His faithful love endures forever, even if I'm not feeling that right now. There is an ultimate truth that transcends my emotional state. And there's such a foundation of stability that comes with that, with believing that and knowing that and reminding yourself
and
of that.
And reminding yourself of that, yes, because we don't know what the future holds.
Nope.
And we have and that's what I was going to say. We have no control over things with our mortality. With you know, when we've been given that diagnosis from the doctor, our first cry as believers, as God's children, needs to go to Him.
Absolutely.
And recognizing that He has that in His hands, that He does have a plan and a purpose, and that we can give that to Him. And I think that's just so important. The Psalms are amazing. We've got a few more days with them.
We do.
We do.
Very fun.
The Word of God is very important, and we're going to pray today because as we pray, we listen to the Lord. And so we pray today, Lord, give me the courage to embrace the story of Jesus and give me the ability to follow Him. Help me today, Lord, especially in the world like it is. Help me today, Lord, to survive and to not only survive, but to grow and to be well developed in life. In Jesus' wonderful name, and this is what we prayed. Amen.